I wanted to tell everybody that last evening I got a call from my pastor, and that he wanted to pray with me and tell me that he was felt good that I was speaking this morning, so that made me feel good. People say you get nervous when you speak. I get nervous because I'm dealing with God's Word, and I want to make sure that what I say is what the Word says, and that's the nervous part. It's not. You don't make me nervous, but God makes me nervous.
A couple of months ago, I spoke to you about the majesty of God, just how great He is. Try and get myself situated here. How big God is, and I talked a little bit about the universe and how the galaxies are unfolding right before our eyes, and what we thought we knew, we found out we don't know. And so, I don't know how many of you follow anything about astronomy, but it's interesting to me because, I guess because it makes men look foolish, because they come up with all these theories and then all of a sudden they find something else, and they never apologize for their mistakes. They never say, well, we told you this, but now we're just expanding it a little bit. But a long time ago we discovered a planet. You can't even see this planet with your naked eye. And the most powerful telescopes we have, when they look at it, it looks like that. So we sent a satellite up into space called Horizon, and it has a telescope on it. This telescope left the Earth in 2006. And it's just now starting to send pictures back of what Pluto looks like. And it's amazing. They found on Pluto that the bottom right-hand side, there's a valley or a mountain, we don't know what it is, but it's shaped exactly like a heart. I think that's pretty cool. God put that out there. We just found it. But this left Earth, and it's traveling at 3,600 miles per hour, and it left in 2006, and it's not there yet. So I don't know if I'm going to buy a ticket for that next one they send up. That's kind of a long trip. You know, most of us get bored on an airline if it's more than an hour. So this would be terrible. But one thing we found out, that Pluto has 5 moons. We didn't know that before. So I don't know what the explanation for that is. I'm sure some scientists will show you how an asteroid hit the Mars and caused these moons to come out there. You know what I say to that? God put the moons there. But anyway, one of the neat things, it takes 248 years for Pluto to go around our sun. That's a long time. Since we discovered it, it has not made one revolution around the sun. That has nothing to do with the message. I just threw that out there because, to me, what we sang this morning about God making the heavens and the earth and our devotion that they read this morning as we opened Sunday school or opened church tells us that the majesty of God is something that we just don't quite understand. We have to accept it by faith. And I accept all this by faith. And I think if God tarries and we get more and more smarter, we'll probably find a couple more planets out there, because it seems like we keep finding galaxies, and not just one or two, we find them by the hundreds as we go out there. But what I want to talk about this morning has to do with a lot of the songs that we were singing about wisdom. There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. When we had our children, they were small, we put up a Christmas tree, and we didn't have the little bitty lights like you have today. We had the lights that were about that big, and they got very hot. Well, my dad put his tree up, and the first thing one of us did was grab a hold of one of the lights. And of course, it was hot, and we pulled the tree over. So I said, Eugene, I had to teach our children not to do this. So I turned the tree on, and I told them, those lights are hot. And right as I turned it on, I said, you feel it. It's warm now, but it's going to get hot. And it was funny because as they got into the tree and all, when people would come into the house, they would tell them, the lights are hot. You know, don't touch, the lights are hot. So the knowledge went to wisdom. You know, the wisdom was, don't touch it. Knowledge is, it gets hot. But when you're wise and have wisdom, you don't touch it. So this edification complex of the soul that I want to talk about, I think it's found in scriptures, not just like that, but it's found in there about edification. I was talking to Richard about it in the Greek and both the Hebrew. Edification means to build up or construct a building or structure. And that's what we want to do. We want to do this in our soul. I love to draw charts and all kinds of things. But in our brain, we have a right and a left part of our brain. And the left part of our brain is where knowledge goes. You know, you learn to drive. And most of you don't remember this, but it used to be there were three pedals there on the floor. You had a brake and an accelerator. But when I started to drive, the first thing we did was get in. Dad would say, push in the clutch, and it was like an H. You know, you pull it down to get it into first gear. And then he said, let the clutch out. I let it out. Boop, 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 boop. We went down the road like that. And eventually, you learn to drive, and you do it very smoothly. You go from, if it's a 4-speed or 3-speed, you go from first or low gear to second gear to the first gear, and you don't have any problems. But I remember, as our children got older, I taught each one to drive with a straight shift, because I had a Volkswagen, and I made sure they knew how to drive, because there were times when the changeover came, you'd say to somebody, you can move my car. I can't drive that, Mr. McCain. I don't know what all those pedals are on the floor down there. But the knowledge of how that works became wisdom. And I don't think I'll ever forget how to drive a car with a clutch. I'm not saying it might bounce a little bit until I get used to it. But what happens is we hear Bible doctrine on the radio, or by a minister, or you read it yourself, and it's knowledge. But what we have to do is we have to, by faith, transfer that over into our memory. And then the gnosis becomes epignosis. And it becomes wisdom. And in that memory over here is a memory center. And that memory center is our vocabulary. It's our viewpoint, norms and standards, and a frame of reference. And if you have doctrine in there, everything that you hear, you bounce off doctrine. You know, I hear some things sometimes on the news, and I think, that can't be right. Or you hear some scientist speaking, and you say, that can't be right. I heard a man speak this year at the homeschool convention named Dr. Ken Ham, and he really opened my eyes to something. He said, do you know when the church started to fail? Of course, there were, I don't know how many people there, 1,000 I guess or so, more than that. And it got silent. He said, I'll tell you when. He said, when Satan put out the first lie with Adam and Eve, they failed. The church started to fail when they put out the first lie of evolution. And I thought about that. He said, because we have taught our young people in schools to not believe the Bible, but to believe evolution. That's the first notch. Then we go on to abortion, and we go on to all kinds of things. He said, it just is a stair step. As Satan gets one lie in, he gets another lie in. And I thought, how true that is, that when that happened, we took, right after that, well, some time after, but we took God out of things. And I saw a cartoon the other day. A little child said to the other one, I wonder why God doesn't stop this shooting in schools. And the other little child said, well, it's because God's not allowed in schools. It's a real, it's kind of humorous, but it's so true. It's scary. I used to work when I had the computer business, and I'd go to different schools and fix computers. And one of the things that always scared me, on the door it would say, "This is a gun-free area." Well, to me, that just tells those with guns, this is a place to go, because there's nobody in there going to shoot back at you. We have done some crazy things in our life. And it's because we let this knowledge become wisdom of the world. And what I want to talk to you about today is, how can we get our knowledge base based on Scripture and take it, and it becomes what I call the foundation or the edification complex of the soul. And there are, if you look at your bulletin, there are five stories or five floors to the edification complex of the soul.
Just keep tapping on my shoulder.
And what we read this morning about, we're to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we are, it's for both the glory and forever. And we're not to be children that are tossed to and fro, but we're to know what we believe and why we believe it. You know, there's a lot of Christians that say they believe things, and if you really challenge them, they say it, but they don't believe it. How many of you have seen the movie Left Behind? Anybody? There's a scene in there. Remember the little girl that her boyfriend was taken, and she ran into the church? And who'd she find sitting in the front pew? The pastor. And she said to him what had happened. And he said, "I've been preaching this for years, but I never believed it." And that's because he had knowledge, but he never left the Holy Spirit through faith transfer that to wisdom. So that's the danger of learning Scripture and not only applying it, but believing it. You know, I know that standing here, and I'm not bragging about it, it's just the truth. If something happened to me now, before my body, I'm talking about physical death, before my body hit the ground, I'd be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I hope all of you here believe that. If you don't, you need to talk to me or one of the elders or somebody, because you can have that assurance. And it's not an instant thing, but as you grow, you learn that. And I just, you know, there's things that I just don't worry about. But anyway, the first thing we have to do is take this human spirit, which God gave us at salvation, and He gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through the human spirit, takes doctrine or Bible teaching as we learn it and transfers it from knowledge to wisdom. And that's the first floor. The second floor is grace orientation. And that's a little bit more difficult, because all of us have a definition of grace. We say, well, it's things that, and all of them are good. It says it's things that we weren't deserved and didn't earn, but God just gave it to us. And that's very true. But He gave us a lot more in salvation. He gave us this. And some people say, well, I can't understand that. I don't think God gave us this to confuse us or not understand it. If you don't understand the King James, go get a different translation. Get a good one now. Don't just go get some hocus pocus one. But I married my granddaughter in September, and she's one of these. And I have nothing wrong with yoga, but she's really into yoga. I mean, she gets up in the morning and does her yoga stuff. And so I gave her about 10 sermons or messages or ceremonies for a wedding. And I said, "Here, Marissa," I said, "look, he's over. Mix, match, do whatever you want." So about 2 weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail from her. And she said, Pap, she said, "We figured out our vows." I opened it up, and it's from some hokey-pocus yoga place. And my daughter-in-law said, "Dad, I believe if you look all those up, you find them in Scripture. She said, don't panic yet. But it talks about the sweetness of marriage, and then they have a glass of honey water in it, and they take a drink. And they say, that's the sweetness of marriage. And then we all say, we all will support you and do all kind of things in your wedding. And then they have one, it's the bitterness of marriage, and they have one, and it's something in it. They have like four different little glasses of stuff they drink, and they all symbolize things in marriage. At first I said, I'm not, that's it. She's got to get somebody else. I'm not marrying her. I'm not doing this. But after I read it, it's not as bad as it sounds. But when you first opened it up, it said, this is from some village somewhere. And I thought, oh boy. She did an internship in India for a half year. I don't even want to tell you some of the stories she told me there. But it was not good. But anyway, we need to be oriented to grace. And part of the grace is, when she sent me this, I had to realize, this is my granddaughter, and she asked me to marry her. And she is a believer. She's just far out there. More far out than I am. I'm more conservative. But I got up this morning and had to water the greenhouse, and I put on shorts and a shirt, and Jean said, you're not wearing that to church, are you? I said, why? She said, well, aren't you preaching this morning? I said, yes. So, well, I just don't think you should wear those shorts and that t-shirt, she said, to preach. And I said, I'm going to have an informal service. But Jean panicked. She forgot this grace orientation. But anyway, the grace orientation is the fact that we need to be involved in grace, the doctrine of grace, and we realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's us, that's me. But God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, convicted us of our sin, we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and became believers. And along with that comes all the things that involve with God's grace. The wisdom of God, and you know, just like I like to watch the NASA channel on the TV. And I guess the reason I like to watch it, it's kind of like the weatherman. He's 50% wrong and still holds his job. And the NASA's kind of the same way. They're giving you all this, what they're going to do out in space, and then they go out there and it doesn't happen. They find out it. Now they're looking this thing's getting closer and closer to Mars, and they're looking for water. And they said, if we find water on Mars, I keep saying Mars, Pluto. They said, if we find water on Pluto, it means there could be life there. Well, I'm getting back into abortion, but here we abort babies, and we say they're not life. They'll find a speck on Mars that you had to look at with a microscope, and they'll say, we found life on Mars. And it's just a different concept we have, the difference between believers and unbelievers. But anyway, you have to have grace orientation. And then you have to master the details of life. And that's a little more complicated there. What that means is, many things like money, material things, friends, pleasure, success, health, loved ones, status symbols, all those things can become our details of life. And don't get me wrong, I mean, every month, my wife will say, how much is in the bank? So money is, it's not that she doesn't have this mastered, but it creeps in. She wants to know how much is in there. And I usually give her a rough time. I say, well, don't write any more checks this week because it won't be good. And then she panics. But you have to master the details of life. And you have to realize that what God has given us right now, where we're at right now as a believer, is where He wants us to be. And it may be that, you know, you may be going through some kind of an illness, or you may have lost a child. And we went through this experience. And you pray and you say, God, would you heal? And it doesn't happen. And then you say to yourself, maybe God didn't, you know, the devil, maybe God didn't hear me. Well, that's a stupid thing to say. And you question all kind of things. And then finally you come back to reality, and you realize that as master of the details of life, you're in God's plan. And we often kid each other now because we say, can you imagine Erica meeting our son David? And you know, she's saying they're all right. It's just amazing when you think of those kind of things. But that's what mastering the details of life is. You look through your situation, what it is, and you realize that you are in God's plan if you're a believer. Now, you can get out of that plan if you sin. Because I like to say this. We're in the center of God's will. This is salvation. We're always saved. You can't lose that salvation once you're saved. But if we sin, this is God's direct will, and we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. But the moment we sin, we fall down here. The Holy Spirit's still up here. So we're down here. Now we're living, and we're being controlled by the human spirit. And that's when the devil can get a foothold in, and he can change what we believe and give us doubt. The biggest thing the devil can do, he did it with Adam and Eve, and he's done it with us, with the creation theories, is give doubt. And you know, it's hard to convince someone when they've been trained or taught evolution, and they've been trained that the earth came from an explosion or whatever it came from, it's hard to convince them that, no, God spoke and it came into existence. But I find that where I can always take them most of the time is, well, where did the explosion come from? Where did this big bang come from? And they can't answer that. They're stopped there, usually. And sometimes when you stop them there, then you can get a word in, you know. But anyway, we have to master the details of life. And that's so important. The fourth floor is a relaxed mental attitude. And this is the hard one. Because most of us, I don't know, we just get too concerned about all kind of things. But if you're not grace oriented and you haven't mastered the details of life, you won't have a relaxed mental attitude. You see, this is all building. So you have to be oriented to grace and realize what God has given you. You have to master the details of life. And to have a relaxed mental attitude, you have no bitterness, no jealousy. And you know, John tells us that he that is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. So we have to realize that this relaxed mental attitude comes from these first two. The grace, we understand grace, and then we master the details of life. We're not bogged down with the details of life. And you know, that's easy to say. We had four children, and right as we had the four children, I lost a job. Fortunately, it was a little easier to get a job then than it is now. We went to a class reunion, and one of the girls in the class reunion said to me, you know, she said, our company's hiring. She said, you need to go down. She said, they want people, older people with experience. That sounds strange, doesn't it? So anyway, I went down and filled out an application, and they said, well, we'll put this on file. I said, well, it's all right with you. I said, I drove quite a ways to get here. I said, I just assumed if I could have the interview now. And she looked at me and said, well, just hang on a minute. So she went and got what ended up being my boss, my manager, and he came and interviewed me. When I got home, Gene said, you got a phone call from Armstrong. So I called them back, and they said, you're supposed to go for a physical on Friday. In the meantime, I got a call that said, you're supposed to come to work Monday. So I went to work Monday, and the guy said, how did you get a job here? I said, I don't know. I got a phone call that said, come in Monday. He said, we don't hire people without giving them a physical. Oh, I said, I got my physical scheduled for Friday. And, you know, you say, how God worked that out? You know, God said, you don't need a physical, but because they want to give me a physical, we'll give him one. But I got the job, started to work Monday, and took my physical Friday. And those things happen as we have a relaxed mental attitude and realize that God is in control. And that's hard to do when you have four kids and a wife and you don't have a job. Because we didn't have a big bank account. You know, it was a little bank account. And we knew it wasn't going to last too long. But God provided within 2 weeks, I started to work. And that company was very gracious. And in fact, as soon as you started to work for them, your health insurance went into effect. Most places you have to work today, so many months before they cover you with a cold, but the Armstrong at that time took care of us. So that was that's the third floor, that relaxed mental attitude. The fifth floor is capacity to love. And there are three categories of what I call love. The first one is the category, the occupation with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our first love. The second would be, and this is for married folks, the second one should be the right man and right woman relationship. The third one is neither male nor female, but it's towards friends. It involves the soul, not the body. So we have three categories of love. The first one is the occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ, the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one is a married person is between a right man and a right woman. And the third one is towards friends. And sometimes we get these mixed up. We have to remember that what our first one is towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's always important to me. And last night, I think I told some of you, and I mentioned earlier, Pastor Lee called me, and he said, I just wanted to see how you're doing, and you ready for tomorrow? And you know me, I should have said tomorrow, but I didn't. I didn't want to. So I said, yeah, I said, I'm ready. He said, well, I just want to tell you, he said, report to the congregation, we've had a great trip. He was at Betty's sister's. And that night, they're going to her brother's for dinner, and he said, I've even got to sneak in a few naps, he said. So I said, well, you got your batteries charged then? Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to come back. He said, he'll be back either Monday late or Tuesday morning early. I said, okay. And he said, nah, we talked a little bit. And then I had a laugh because he said, I really want you to know that I'm praying for you as you talk. And I said, well, I appreciate that. I said, I've never turned down prayer. And it went quiet for a while. And he said, do you mind if I pray for you right now? And I said, no. And being that, you know, my wife and I pray with people all the time on the phone. So if you can't be there, you pray on the phone. And anyway, we prayed about the situation. But he did want me to tell you all that they've had a great vacation and they got some rest. And he's looking forward to being back. And he'll be back either Monday or Tuesday late. But anyway, we get these loves straightened out. And remember where we're going here. If you get all these things together, we have what I call the penthouse. And it's happiness plus. And we read in 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now we see him not, we believe. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Richard read that out of 1 Peter 1:8. And these are the things that, as we build this, we can get this happiness. It doesn't matter, you know. I'm sure you've read about, for instance, Senator John McCain was one when he was in prison. If you hear his testimony, he'll say that what kept those men going was the scriptures. They all knew different scriptures, and they had a code worked out where they'd drive the Vietcong crazy because they may be giving John 3:16, and they didn't know what was going on. And there was a story about one prison where they left them out. They hadn't seen each other in, I don't know, maybe 18 months or 2 years. And all the prisoners got in a circle in the compound and sang a hymn. And it said the guards just, you know, they just couldn't believe it, that these guys hadn't seen each other. And they thought they'd be jumping around like a bunch of monkeys, I guess. But they get out and they put their arms around each other and sang a hymn, praises to God. And that's what inner happiness is. The fact that no matter your situation, think of Paul when he was in prison. I mean, he was beaten and half starved, and their prisons weren't nice places. And he said he's content in whatever he, wherever he finds himself. That's because Paul had this edification complex of the soul in his mind. We have to have it in our mind. Doctrine has to be become epinosis in our mind. We have to believe it. You know, just like there's no question in my mind that God spoke, and all this universe that we know about, He created in a day just by speaking. He created out of nothing. And the Hebrew words there says He created out of nothing. I don't have a problem telling anybody that. I don't care if it's a guy with 14 doctorate degrees and a scientist, and he tells me, well, that's not how it happened. I'm like, I'm sorry, sir, but you do it in a nice way. I said, I'm sorry, sir, but you're wrong. This is how it happened. And then don't argue with him. Just quit. Let them figure out what you're talking about. But as you look at this, this is what this should look like in your mind. When you have it built, you have an inner happiness. It's the top floor. But you can't have that without these things. You have to have this doctrine, this epinosis, which is knowledge transferred by the Holy Spirit into the right part of your brain, and it becomes becomes wisdom. Then that wisdom, we get grace-oriented. We understand that all that we have is because of what God gives. Everything that we have. You know, the scripture says that God has, He doesn't have too much of a problem with me, but some of you does. He said the hairs of our head are numbered. You know, I'm an easy one. But when you think of it, it says, the Bible says when a sparrow falls, God knows it. And sometimes you look out in the field and there's more sparrows than you can count. And He knows when one falls. And you know, we get involved with... Somebody dropped two cats off about a year ago in my neighbor's driveway. And I was talking to him and these cats were walking around. So I came home about an hour later. Gene said, there's two cats at the door. And I said, okay. Well, before I could think, Jean has a little bowl of milk and she's feeding the cat. I said, well, now we have two cats. She said, how do you know? I said, once you feed them, they're here to stay. So we found out they were 9 months old and we had them operated on and taken care of. And, you know, you get close to these cats. I go out now and they'll lay on my feet. And, well, yesterday one of them disappeared, the male. We couldn't find them. The one's gray and the other's look kind of white. We looked everywhere. I looked in the shed, I looked in the cars, I looked under the house, I looked everywhere, couldn't find the cat. Come home last night, this cat's still missing. Gene said, where do you think it went? I said, either an animal got it, or it found another home, somebody might have picked it up. Well, and it bothered me a little bit, but it bothered Gene a lot, I can tell. So Gene was praying about this cat. You know, she'd have peace about it. Got up this morning to feed the cats, and guess what? Both cats are out on the front porch. So I don't know where the cat went. Maybe it went to church on Saturday. I don't know where it went. But anyway, the cat was back, and she was happy. But that tells us a little bit about the love we have for animals. The love we should have for God should even be stronger. The love we have for right man and right woman should be stronger. The love we have for friends should be stronger. My grandson said, he moved to Lynchburg, and he said, Pap, I don't have any friends. Well, I said, really? I said, you find your friends, first of all, usually in your family, and then the rest of them you kind of find in church. Because you really want a lot of friends that you can't really call friends, or they don't believe like you believe, or you're always arguing about something or fussing. And I don't know whether that became wisdom or it's still knowledge in his head. I don't know. But this love that I'm talking about here, before we get through all this and we learn to master the details of life, you can't worry about little things. You know, we sang this morning about he's more precious than gold, and wisdom is more precious than gold and silver. What do you see on TV advertised more than anything else? Buy gold, buy silver. We as a congregation should put an ad on there, get wisdom. Because that's what the scripture says. Wisdom is more important than gold and silver. And the wisdom they're talking about is this relaxed mental attitude and master details of life. Once we have this down, we can get into this love situation. And then we have what I call inner happiness. And that's, this doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you have to build up. And the problem is, it's not a problem, it's a fact. If you sin here, this collapses. So you have to get back in fellowship and build. Now, you don't have to rebuild the whole thing, but you have to confess your sin, realize that because of God's grace, you can confess it, and He forgives you and removes it as far as the east is from the west. You don't ever think about that. That's a neat concept. I can go north, how far? Anybody? To the North Pole, then I'm going south. You can go east forever. You can go west forever. There's no poles out there. It's just, and you know, they put that in the scripture, what, 2,000-3,000 years ago? The dummies did that. You know, they didn't have the scientists that we have today, and they put that in there. They probably didn't have a compass when they put that in there. But anyway, see, they had a relaxed mental attitude. And they wrote that in the scriptures for us. So I want you to take your little bulletin when you go home, and I just have the abbreviations in there of what these are. If you have any problems, you can call me and I can tell you. Because I love this chart. I mean, I have it. In fact, I think, yeah, you can see it's been there a long time. It's yellow. But the first time I heard that, it just amazed me that we as a human being can get knowledge and convert it to wisdom, and then we can build this and we can have what we call inner happiness. What I call the penthouse of Christianity. I mean, when you get, and I don't mean it, there's not things that are going to upset you, and not things that are going to, you're going to have sorrow in your life. But you should have this inner. This is called an inner happiness. It's not jumping around and happy. I mean, when some things happen, you're sad. But inside, you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you can see through it and find the happiness. I usually don't do this, but anybody have any questions or comments? Or Lee, when he asked me to preach, he said, "Do you have anything in mind?" I said, "Well, kind of." He said, "Well, I can give you a suggestion." I said, "What's that?" He said, "How about preaching on the eschatology of end time events?" And I said, "Lee, one Sunday you want me to do that?" So about 15 minutes later, he came back and he said, "I withdraw my suggestion." He said, "You do what you want to do." And John said he remembers when years ago when we came to the church, I preached on that. And John said, "I can still see. You think I have charts here? You should see the charts I have on end time events. I got charts go everywhere." But and I love to talk on that. And that gives me an inner peace. You know, people talk about the tribulation, and it's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. I'm not going to be here. Don't give me this, "You're going to be here the first 3.5 years. I'm going at the beginning of the tribulation, period. And I said to Lee about, I'm probably guessing some people don't like what I said. I said, when I preach on the eschatology, I usually start off with, "This is what I believe. This is what the Bible says. If you believe something else, keep it to yourself. Because this is where we're going." And you don't get arguments at it. Stop the argument before it starts. But anyway, and I have an inner happiness about that. One of these days, if God doesn't call me home, I'm going up. If I'm still alive. What? Think of the beauty of that. Think if we were sitting here now and the Lord came. And we all know the Lord Jesus Christ. Right through the ceiling. I mean, it'd be amazing. And when you can find me up there, I'll be singing. I want you to know that. I can't sing here. I can't hold a note. But up there, I'm going to be what John does. And Sherry, I'm going to be directing and singing and playing and doing all that. So you'll find it. Well, if there are no questions, we'll go to prayer. But I just want you to say that this is very important as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have some kind of structure in your belief. Don't just throw out, well, that's what I believe. Know why you believe it and be convinced that that's why you believe it. Because if you're not convinced, the devil's going to change your mind. The devil will change your mind. So that's why you have to have the doctrine transferred knowledge. It has to become wisdom. And you have to believe it. You have to believe what this book says. And there's so much in there that, you know, we read it and we say, well, I don't quite understand that. Keep reading. With the internet and all the books that are out there, I don't think there's anything in here that you can't find an explanation for. But make sure you're in a sound place when you look for it. Alright, let's close in prayer. I'm trying to find the bullet here. I don't know what I did with it. But if any of you, what, we used to have the music and then prayer? Or? Okay. Well, let me close in prayer and then we'll have music. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings of the day. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to present the Word. And we pray as it goes forth that it might fall on fertile ground and we might all realize, myself included, that we need to take in doctrine daily, on a daily basis. And we need to have it so that it becomes wisdom in our soul. And we believe it. We're convinced that what we're hearing is the truth. It's the truth because it's your word. And we know that you cannot tell a lie. So we just pray that you help us to understand this. Help us that we all might be able to reach this inner happiness where no matter what situation we're in, inside our inner being, in our mind, that we have a peace and a joy and a relaxed mental attitude towards all the situation we're in. We can be a testimony to the world this way. Just help us this way and strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen.